Thank you to the Patreon supporters of the Top Rope Chef podcast. Haley K., Claire G., Mina K., and Nicholas Haynes of the Sketchy Nonsense podcast. Help support the show by pledging a monthly amount to us at patreon.com/Top Rope Chef. Thanks.
We're cooking up some recipes, gonna give them a spin. If you're messing with Top Rope Chefs, you can never win. Whoa. We'll be leaving you in the kitchen, wishing you were beaten, battered, and fried. And we'll be cooking up some main dishes, desserts, and yummy things on the side. Can you take the heat? Can you take the heat? Can you take the heat? Can you take the heat?
Welcome to Top Rope Chef, the podcast about food and wrestling. We are cooking through the entire WWE cookbook written in the year 2000. Can You Take the Heat? Written by J.R. Jim Ross. Today's recipes are Blackjack Lanza's Mandarin Orange and Rice Noodle Salad and Grilled Steak Benoit. My name is Bradley Big Stack Jones. With me as always,
Jacqueline the River Maynard. Brad, I want to be called that so bad.
Yeah, how do we get that trending? Let's get that going.
I don't know, maybe hashtags?
Yeah, start calling Jacqueline the River.
Make my dreams come true.
Start texting her pictures of rivers,
yep.
Landscapes of rivers.
We'll put up, or what is that called? Not superimpose. Facebook? Nope. Photoshop. There we go. Photoshop my face onto bodies of water.
Mm-hmm. It's a poker term that I had to explain to you.
Yes.
It's the fifth card that comes up in Texas Hold'em. Blackjack Lanza has a tag team partner named Blackjack Mulligan, and it was just too cool not to have a sweet name.
Blackjack Mulligan, that could be a drink, that could be like a restaurant name, that could be a mascot's name. I mean, I guess he is kind of a mascot's name, but it's just such a good name. Blackjack Mulligan.
So solid.
It just rolls out of your mouth. I think if we were to use these names in wrestling as wrestlers, like, I would be the one that never comes out. I'd like a wild card. Oh, that's another poker word, right?
Beautiful.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And I'd come out, like,
Joker's
fifth
wild.
And, like, do sneaky stuff. Or you would be, like, the... Like, when you come out, everybody goes crazy because you're just going to destroy somebody.
What's a finishing move for me? For the big stack.
The big stack. I mean,
the river just seems like you'd be called, like, the wash or something. Or
ooh, yeah.
You know, downriver.
Oh, that sounds trampy.
It does sound a little trampy, but it also fits.
It does. I mean, you could do... Oh, no, wait. Mine could be the royal flush, and I could just give people... what is that when you put their head in the toilet? Swirlies?
Yeah.
I could do swirlies backstage.
Back room and just give people swirlies.
Yeah.
I shove someone with a stack of pancakes.
Yeah, how do you like this stack? And then just smash their face in it.
Or I'll be fighting a tag team and I'll like start like stacking people up and then just do like a splash on top of everybody.
Yeah, that's an awesome one.
It's like body slam people on top of each other.
I would love to see that move. I would go nuts if I saw that move. Does that happen? I feel like I've seen it happen.
I'm sure Mark Henry's done that.
That's probably it. Yeah, but Big Stack is better.
What are you drinking this podcast, Jeff?
Oh, today I just have a lemon LaCroix. Keeping it simple.
Mm.
What about you?
Keeping it 100. The quest for the creamer is still on. The never-ending journey of finding the best non-dairy / sugarless, very little sugar creamer is happening. I got your coconut... Nut pod, hazelnut.
Have you tried it?
The nut, not yet. But I'm skeptical. It smells like coconuts.
Oh.
Tastes like coconuts. No hint of hazelnut.
Oh.
Could have just called it coconut.
So, is that a no?
It's getting hard out there. I'm thinking about trying to do my own again out of like some sort of like fig or some sort of fruit to add, like, that sweetness back into it. Some sort of agave, maybe.
Or date. Dates are real sweet.
Yeah. I'm thinking about making my own, like, cashew date kind of coffee creamer.
That sounds chunky. Well, I'm surprised you didn't like the nut pods. I don't taste coconut at all. when I drink those.
I think I maybe just have been too used to coconut. Maybe it's just not in my palate yet.
Maybe, because that's all the milk I drink is coconut milk, and I keep telling people it doesn't taste like coconut at all.
I wonder if you can like go back to when you first tried it, if you could remember how coconutty it was.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, but...
I've got another coconut creamer in there for next week that I'll put head-to-head against this one. It's a brand I hadn't seen before. Because I went to Whole Foods this week to get some of the stuff for this podcast and just to experiment for things. And I ended up spending way too much money because it was impossible not to when you shop at a Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Never going back again.
I bet not. What was the weirdest thing you saw there?
I looked through every single aisle, right?
Yeah.
I think, I'm trying to think, there was a very weird, outlandish thing that I saw, and I was going to mention it, and then I was like, I'll remember, and I obviously did not remember. But the most wild thing is the freezer section.
Oh.
Because they tried to do so many different kinds of, like, healthy ice creams. So, like, they have just weird varieties of non-dairy ice creams or experimental ice creams, and they're just, like, way too many to try.
Okay.
The odd thing that I saw there was like a four-year-old kid that ran to a certain ice cream that I had never heard of before. I think it was called Jenny's.
Okay.
And he was like freaking out about how good this ice cream
oh
was.
God.
This like little kid over this like gourmet ice cream that like I wouldn't even be haven't even had as an adult. It was $9 for a little
carton. Oh my God. Of this ice cream. That makes me so irritated. I want to go to that memory of yours and push the kid in the freezer and hold the door shut. Hey.
I was trying to find some like sugar, less than sugar ones, but there was nothing the flavors that didn't excite me, so I ended up not getting any of those. And they were just too expensive in general. So.
Yeah, right. We have this one at work. It's called Wink, and it's the creepiest I've ever seen. It's sugar-free. It's nut-free, which isn't usually a thing, gluten-free, dairy-free, and it's got this, like, it's like a spoon, the logo is a spoon, and it's this, like, pile that looks like a pink egg yolk, and it has, like, a face, and it's smiling at you. It's just so creepy.
Well, I don't understand.
And it's also really expensive.
Who's the marketing behind
this? Oh, no.
I was also looking at the pizzas for a no-cheese pizza, because I gave up on the cheese kick. I saw that Daiya has their own set of frozen pizzas now, and they have an extra cheesy one, which just made me
extra cheesy, hold the cheese. They had
a most cheesy, fake cheese pizza.
Their cheeses.
It's like the last thing I want to eat on the Daiya pizza.
I can't do Daiya anymore. I can't do it at all. It just makes me sick.
Yeah. They had an Amy's pizza that had no cheese on it, and that cheese retail value was $8.99.
Ooh, for a small frozen pizza?
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, I guess Tombstone's like $10, right?
No, it's like $4. It's coming from a person who never buys frozen pizzas.
Yeah. It was fun to guess.
You're paying like $7 at most for like a high-quality frozen pizza. You're not going over that budget.
I think... It would be fun if, well, it'd be fun for me. You know that Price is Right game where you, like, guess how much a grocery item costs? It would be interesting.
To do that at Whole Foods?
Yeah, yeah. That would be an interesting game.
And what else was there? Oh, cornbread crust pizza was the thing that I never heard of that's going around.
There's a pizzeria up in Houghton where we used to live called Studio Pizza, and they had a gluten-free cornbread crust that was the best. The best gluten-free crust I've had. It was definitely, like, drier, like how cornbread is. But it was better than that, like, thin, gross thing that you often get, that you always get.
I feel like it's got to be easier to make than the cauliflower one, because it's already kind of a green.
Did you end up trying that cauliflower to make a cauliflower?
I haven't, but there were a lot of versions of that, too, at Whole Foods. I ended up not getting any of them. But I think I would like it.
We sell cauliflower pizza crust, and guess how much it retails for one cauliflower pizza crust?
$9.36.
No, less than that. It's $6.99.
Oh, okay.
For just like a small pizza size. What is that, a 10-inch is a small? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so much.
It's got to be a fun world to live in where you don't have to budget for groceries. Like, I'd love to live in that world where I could just go into the store and just literally get all the things I want.
Yeah, get whatever you want. That would be amazing.
It's not possible. And I also got a lot of fun flavored potato chips for Andy Loves Chips. There was like a Detroit brand that Oprah recommended that I was excited about. And then there was some Boulder Canyon unique flavor ones that I got, which I like a Boulder Canyon potato chip.
I like them because their kettle ones also get folded over, and that's my favorite chip is when it folds and you get like a two for your money, or if it folds thrice and then you get just like four layers of chip. It's so good.
Well, without further ado, let's talk about some wrestlers and food. Some more food that we cooked.
We're probably going to start with Blackjack Lanza, hey?
Yeah, because the other one's too sad. It had to happen, and we didn't want to hold it off till the very end, so we're just going to sandwich it with this episode and let it just wash over us. Let the river take us away.
Yeah, I think it's best that we don't end the whole series or season with that much of a bummer.
Yeah, it'll be a different kind of bummer. It'll be more of like an awe bummer because we're going to do Jan's recipe at the very end.
Yeah.
It'll be a happy bummer, not just a bummer.
So, Brad, what's up with Blackjack Lanza?
We got to make a salad dressing today, which is very fun. Blackjack Lanza is one of those old-timer WWE veterans. He's in the Hall of Fame. He still works for the company. He started wrestling in the 70s.
Wow. And still works for the company.
He works behind the scenes as a producer.
What does it mean to be a producer?
You can help with the entire production of events. Sometimes a producer will help with what happens inside of a match, and like the storytelling that goes inside of there.
Okay. I'm willing to do that, Vince.
Mm-hmm. Road agents like work with talent on the road, like helping them with certain things. And they're just like usually a veteran who is like a go-to person in the backstage area that has answers or advice or can help make a match happen. It's a very valuable position to have in wrestling because otherwise it would just be a sloppy mess out there. No one know what they're doing.
So he does that. He started out with like a cowboy look. That's what I saw from my limited research this week.
Yeah, the cowboy character is an interesting one in wrestling. A lot of people have that persona.
They do?
JBL.
Yeah,
is one of the most recent ones that have had
Who is his nephew.
Yeah, it's like a classic gimmick. Even like Steve Austin had it in the 90s, a stunning Steve
Austin.
He
did?
Mm-hmm. When he had blonde hair.
Oh, right. Oh, weird. It feels like to me, whenever they do the cowboy thing, it looks like one of those like strippergrams you get at your house. Like a knock on the door and this cowboy comes in. And then says a thing, an innuendo, and then, like, puts on a boombox song and takes the rest of his cowboy outfit off. That's what it always makes me think of.
Well, these guys aren't wearing much clothing to begin
with. Right, that's what I'm saying.
It's really not that much stretch of an imagination.
It's like a vest and a hat and a big old blackjack.
That's the look. That's the cowboy look. I'm not sure, like, who will be the next cowboy.
Ooh.
If it's like a totally dead gimmick or not. Like, maybe, like, Bray Wyatt is kind of, like, the evolution of the cowboy with his hat and his kind of, like, old-timey gimmick. But...
Yeah, but he's, like, a British one, so that doesn't really count, does it?
He's not British.
Isn't he?
No. He's, like, an old swamp man. He just hangs out in the swamps.
I'm not thinking of the right person. Who's the person who dated Alicia Fox?
You're thinking of, I know that guy's name,
Wade Barrett,
who hasn't been
that
around
That is
a long
who
time
I'm thinking of is Wade Barrett. Yeah. Not rated.
Wade Barrett would have looked great in a hat, though, a cowboy hat. It would have been like a funny gimmick if he was like an Englishman in a cowboy hat.
Yeah, that would have been funny. It would have been a good heel move.
There's a character in AEW, I think his name is Adam Page, and he's the Hangman Adam Page, and he comes out with like a noose and that vest. He's also a very handsome gentleman. And I think he's probably the only person with that kind of gimmick right now, I'd say, of that Westerner outlaw character.
I can get behind a Hangman persona. That's a good one.
Yeah, he's a hunky buff boy, let me just say that much.
Interesting.
But is this a hunky buff salad?
Oh, segue.
Segue, master. 10 out of 10. Blackjack Lanza's Mandarin Orange and Rice Noodle Salad. You see how I jumped on this, but I didn't have to read the next one? All right. Refreshingly marvelous. is the only way to accurately describe this land's a family favorite. Because it calls for only fresh ingredients, this super salad becomes a main event attraction, just as the very respected Black Jack Lanza was in the squared circle for over two decades. Jack is now the senior road agent in the Federation and has been instrumental in the development of many Federation superstars, including Stone Cold Steve Austin, who considers Jack his mentor. Black Jack Lanza is a legend in sports entertainment, and this dish will become a legend in your kitchen. There is a dressing and a salad for the dressing. Use a quarter cup vegetable oil, 1 tablespoon sugar, 2 tablespoons white vinegar, 1 tablespoon chopped fresh parsley. To make the salad, quarter head iceberg lettuce torn into bite-sized pieces, quarter head romaine lettuce torn into bite-sized pieces, 1 cup sliced celery, 2 tablespoons sliced green onions, 1 11-ounce canned mandarin oranges drained, 1 cup chow mein rice noodles. 3 steps to the recipe. Step 1, to make the dressing in a medium bowl, whisk together the oil, sugar, vinegar, parsley, and chill. Step 2, in a large bowl, mix the lettuce, celery, onions, and oranges. Step 3, toss the salad and dressing up to blend. Sprinkle the noodles on top. Mix 4 servings. Jacqueline, what do you think of this mandarin orange and rice noodle salad?
Well, Brad, I found out that I don't really care for mandarin oranges on my salad. It was a weird...
Oh, no!
It was a weird burst of juice in a...
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, as a weird burst of juice. It kind of would be better with lemon, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like, just... That's, like, the key ingredient missing. Because it's just not the same. An orange... is a citrus. It's in the world of the lemon and lime, but it's kind of on the outskirt. I think it'd be nice if you did like an orange reduction, maybe with.
Aren't we getting fancy?
The vinegar. Yes. So what do we make here? What is this called? A vinaigrette?
I don't know. I guess yeah. That would be a vinaigrette.
It's technically a vinaigrette of some kind. A parsley
vinaigrette. Yeah, I didn't use vegetable oil because I think it's gross. So I did it with olive oil.
Yeah, it tastes funky.
So that was a little better, but I don't care for this dressing. I think the dressing needed a spritz of lemon in it to like complement the parsley. Was that your experience?
Yes. Very weird that it used white vinegar and not apple cider vinegar or
red wine vinegar. Anything.
Yes. Any other flavored vinegar.
I didn't use iceberg and romaine. I used a baby spring mix that has like all kinds of. Yeah.
Me too.
That was better.
Triple washed? Was yours triple washed?
Taylor Organics. Taylor Farm Organics.
Yeah. I didn't wash it. I take the risk. If it says triple washed, I believe
it. Yeah, same. That's why I buy triple washed.
You know, just so you don't have to wash it.
And I did find gluten-free chow mein rice noodles. All the ones in the stores by me also had wheat in them. The chow mein noodles. So I found some rice ones, but they had like Indian spices on them. Only ones I could find. So what I did was I tasted the dressing and I didn't like it. I knew it was going to ruin the salad. So then I have this sesame dressing, like toasted sesame salad dressing that I put on the salad instead because I thought it would kind of go with the flavor of the noodles and the mandarin orange thing. And it was okay. I'm not going to... Yeah, it was okay. Did you eat it, like, as is with everything?
I didn't make as much dressing. I tried to, like, quarter it. So I just put just, like, a little bit of vegetable oil, sugar, and vinegar, and parsley together until I got something that tasted okay. Maybe used too much vinegar, but it seemed fine to me. I like the parsley, but I kind of would have just rather just put that in the salad itself rather than have to, like, mess with it in the dressing. I guess it falls into the salad anyway.
I think... With this, if you're going to have parsley in a dressing, you should, like, blend it so it's, like, part of the dressing.
100%. Yeah. I was looking up other sort of dressings that were similar to this. Just balsamic is, like, the first one that pops up. Just use balsamic vinegar instead.
I think a peanut dressing would have gone better on this salad. Personally.
That goes better on every salad.
True fact.
Did you use a can of mandarin oranges, or did you just use a fresh mandarin
orange? I did fresh. I don't care for canned fruit.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Canned fruit is creepy to me.
Yeah.
It's extra sweet.
Canned fruit is a mysterious beast.
It is.
And I don't understand
it. I don't...
It. It's so full of sugar.
Yeah, and I know you can get, like, oh, no sugar added, kind of, or something like that. Not in heavy syrup, that's what it is. But I'd rather just use fresh fruits. I don't like what we do to fruits in this country.
Yeah, we treat them
poorly. You should cherish them. Vegetables too, but vegetables are hardy.
Put them in the dehydrator like Brad does.
Yes, do what Brad does. But what does Brad think of this salad? What do you give it?
I give Blackjack Lanza's Mandarin Orange and Rice Noodle Salad a big old deuce.
Oh! Isn't that a card term too? Deuce is wild? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I said it. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give Blackjack Lanza's salad, I'm going to give it a 2.5 because it is all, like, you are making a salad and there's feds in it, with the exception of the canned oranges. Compared to the other stuff we've had in this cookbook, it's a good try.
I like that it made me at least attempt
yes.
to construct a dressing. I have to give it yes. like big props for that, you know?
Not for the...
It didn't say buy a thing of
dressing. This particular brand.
Or just mix like two things together. Yeah. Actually went for it. And the 1 cup of celery.
Mm-hmm.
I like celery, like chopped up and a lot of it in there. And it just tastes great and just goes down.
Yes.
You don't even notice it.
I do like that. That's also why I think it would be better with a peanut butter dressing. I might actually... No, I'm just going to make a different salad and have peanut butter dressing.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back talking about Chris Benoit's steak.
You and Blackjack Mulligan, the tag team champions, reformed once again.
And I want to tell you something, Ric Flair, and listen good. Because Mulligan, I've never seen him this way. 12 years I've known him. 12 years teamed up with him, I should say. Known him all my life. And I'll tell you, there's one mad Texan. And Roger Kirby, it's you and I on the 16th at Kiel Auditorium. And the future is very bright for the Blackjacks because they're back together. And there's only one way we're going is right up. And we want a championship match of Blackwell and Patera, the tag team champions of the world.
Welcome back to Top Rope Chef. And we're just getting it right down out of the way. The grilled steak Benoit. We don't really want to talk about Chris Benoit in any sort of positive light or in any kind of manner. Just to give like a brief history, if like there is someone who doesn't know who he is. He was a wrestler in the 90s in WCW. Made his name by being aggressive and mean. And he was a very technical wrestler. And that's kind of what his like MO was, and that's why like other wrestlers liked him, because what he did was in the ring was just like insanely like crisp and technical. And he went to WWE and became like a weirder, stronger version of himself that he was, ever was in WCW, where he was all just jacked up on steroids, roided out of his mind, and was almost doing things that were kind of too intense in terms of like headshots and moves that hurt you, himself, and other people. It was an era where there's a photo in the book of him just giving Crash Holly just a straight up headshot, like right smack dab in the forehead.
Yeah, and the chair is bending. The metal, the aluminum folding chair is just bent to shit or steel or whatever.
It's an era of concussions, which he had many of. We didn't...
I want to say it was 40 plus.
Jeez, oh, Pete. We weren't quite sure, like, how bad a concussion was in the early 2000s. Like, we assumed they were kind of bad, but the lasting effects didn't really start to happen until sort of recently with CTE stuff. But, yeah, so he killed himself and his wife and his two kids, and it was sad.
Yep,
it made national news
son.
For, like, a week. If you want to read up on, like, the tragedy, it's a thing that is like a dark mark in WWE. Super sad.
He has a Wikipedia page, and the Chris Benoit double murder and suicide also has a Wikipedia page just of its own.
It was a huge trial. It was like weeks of court things happening and news and reports, and WWE was like constantly under attack.
Uh-huh.
One thing that's kind of strange that happened is that they didn't know what the cause of murder was from the first day, and they actually aired a tribute show to Chris Benoit the day after.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Good evening. Tide, this arena here in Corpus Christi, Texas, was to have been filled to capacity with enthusiastic WWE fans. Tonight's storyline was to have been the alleged demise of my character, Mr. McMahon. However, in reality, WWE superstar Chris Benoit, his wife Nancy, and their son Daniel are dead. Their bodies were discovered this afternoon in their new suburban Atlanta home. The authorities are undergoing an investigation. We here in the WWE can only offer our condolences to the extended family of Chris Benoit.
And they quickly were like, uh-oh.
Oh no.
They blackjack Mulligan that one and was like, yeah, we're not saying anything good about Chris Benoit ever again.
Information. I totally forgot about that. Although, So I was reading up on this murder-suicide, and I don't know how they didn't know that it was, how they didn't immediately know that he murdered them.
Yeah, I don't think the news had come out. It happened, in the middle of the night, I think.
No, it happened during the day at, 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Because he missed a flight. He was supposed to be at a show. And instead of flying there and doing the show, he murdered his wife and 7-year-old son.
Yeah. Oof.
Yep, he's a monster. When he was found, he had 10 times the amount of testosterone that a normal human man would have in his body. So that doctor who prescribed him all that stuff is in jail now, or he was. He must have gotten out now. That was 2007. If you want to read up on it, you can do that. I don't really want to talk about it anymore. It's bumming me out.
Yeah. He survived by a son, I think David is his name. I think he was in the crib at the time, and I don't know if just Chris Benoit just forgot about it, or if it was things were happening, or what the reason was. But
David's actually older than the son that he murdered.
Oh, is he?
Okay. David or
maybe he
Chris
was out of the house or something. I don't know.
He had two kids with his previous wife. He and Nancy, the wife he murdered, only had one son named Daniel, and he just. Yeah, it's gross. He's gross. We didn't want to make this recipe, but we did it for you viewers, listeners. So we better get an email after this.
I was gonna actually offer up because I felt bad about stealing the first one. Do you want me to read the recipe?
No, I'll do it. I'm a tough gal.
Okay.
All right. Grilled steak Benoit.
Just do it it's the least enthusiastic as possible. Swallow the pill and get it
no
done.
No problem there.
Wipe it out of here.
It's so weird because this is they're saying nice, great things about him and it feels gross. All right.
Maybe we just skip that then. Just read what the ingredients are, Jack.
Great, that sounds wonderful. Chris Benoit's a monster. Okay. The ingredients for this recipe are, this is a marinade. Half cup soy sauce, 2/3 cup red wine, 1/2 cup peach preserves, 5 cloves garlic, 1/2 medium sweet onion, pinch of salt, pinch of pepper, 4 steaks. Use your favorite kind.
Put all those things in a bag with your favorite steak and marinate it for 24 hours. Just the deal.
Yep. 1 to 3 days, and then you grill a steak. Hey, did you grill a steak?
So the interesting thing in the marinade, if we could talk about just the recipe itself, separating the man from the food.
Yep, okay.
Peach preserves. It's the number one thing that jumps out at me as being a fun inclusion in a marinade.
Yeah.
It's not something I would really think about doing. Mm-mm. I use plum preserves in mine.
Oh.
Because that's what I had in the kitchen.
Okay.
Follow the recipe as is. I didn't love it.
Mm-mm.
But I don't exactly know what it could have been missing.
So, I, instead of garlic and sweet onion, I did garlic powder and onion powder because that just penetrates meat better than just having vegetables sit in it, I think. That was my logic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think the red wine and the soy sauce, because those are such strong flavors, I think they just, I did use peach preserves, but I feel like they just swallowed that and I could have just used sugar. Because that's all that you got from, or that's all that I got from it, was that.
It seems very bland.
Yeah.
I usually use ginger
Mm-hmm.
And like a marinade.
Now, Brad, you just did, you made stuff happen in my head. Now, if we did a peach preserve with a little less wine than peach preserve, but peach preserve, ginger, and white wine with like a pork chop and some garlic and onion,
ooh,
that would be tits. That would be so good. But this, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of experimentation to be done with marinades.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that the inclusion of just like, hey, throw some jam in there.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the kitchen, you like look in your kitchen to see what you can make is like, oh, I'll put this, and that in there. And I even sometimes would use like just a salad dressing or something funky just to throw into there, like a Caesar dressing.
Salad dressing is like good marinade.
Spice up a marinade. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this was bland. I had that Beyond Meat stuff is what I put it in. And it was bland, mm-hmm. and I didn't really taste it. That was it.
Yeah. What did you use as a protein?
Oh, it's Beyond Meat. I did a brat, and I did a burger one. That was the closest thing I could find to like a vegetarian steak.
So yeah, I've never heard of like a marinated hamburger before, but I'm excited to see if that took hold.
It didn't.
Oh, that's probably why it's not done.
Yeah. It kind of made it like, it made it really wet and it made it not hold together well when I was cooking it.
Yeah.
I fried it in a pan instead of a grill because it just wasn't working out. The brat would have worked out, but
I'd almost like cook the hamburger first and then just like put this over it or something.
Oh, yeah, or like cook it in this. Like put this in the pan as well. Did you do a steak?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fine. Yeah, I did a steak. I bought some stew steak. It was the cheapest one I could get.
Oh, yeah, stew meat.
Yeah, stew meat. And it tasted like squishy and crunchy. And it was, you know, the steak itself wasn't anything to love.
Yeah.
And I only marinated it for overnight because I forgot. I don't know if 3 days would have been better. I don't know how long a marinade works.
I mean,
I'm always a little fuzzy.
I always do 24 hours, and that's always worked out really well, and it makes things like tender and moist. And I mean, that's with real meat. I haven't ever marinated mm-hmm. fake meat before. Didn't work though.
I don't marinate steak either. I usually use like a rub mm-hmm. when I make steak.
Yeah.
I marinate a lot of chicken though, and that's like my go-to thing.
Yeah, that's what we did before. It was mm-hmm. chicken all the time, chicken, but not steak.
Yeah.
Yep, so what do you give this?
0 stars.
Yep.
Never talk about it again.
0 stars. Chris Benoit, you're the worst. 0.
Never again.
Never again.
The Band-Aid is off. We've pulled it away. We can stop talking.
Finally. Never mention him again.
Yep. Thanks for joining us on this episode.
Next week will be a lot more peppy. Upbeat. Sorry to end it on a bummer.
Yeah. Well, support our show, patreon.com/topropechef. Mm-hmm. Email Jacqueline questions, comments, and stuff. Call her the river.
Yeah.
Put it in the tagline of the email to the river.
Maybe I should just start putting my phone number on on like the Instagram posts and stuff so people will talk to me.
That seems like a bad idea.
Hey, you know, I gotta get our fan base going.
And Instagram.com/topropechef. See pictures of food that we cook throughout the week. Jacqueline usually mm-hmm. puts delicious desserts that she makes at her bakery and whatnot and her own personal life.
I do.
And
I'm gonna do that today.
Yeah. That's it. Thanks everybody.
Thanks, bye.
Goodbye.